This is the Student Leadership News Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Student Leadership News Podcast.
It is your host, Kira, and we are back with another solo episode today. I hope you're not getting too sick of my voice. I feel like I've been doing a few of these lately. Low-key, they're kind of a vibe, though. Like, they're short, they're practical, you get what you need, and you can go away and implement the ideas. There's a few team members who are traveling and running leadership conferences with student leaders around Australia. Some of the team is on leave, so you are stuck with me for today, but we are in for another great episode. We're talking about something that's hugely crucial to leadership. So yes, we are talking about how to run an effective meeting today, a meeting where you're going to leave and have clarity, and you're going to learn how to communicate properly and run an effective meeting. We do hear it a lot. We hear that leaders are struggling to run meetings because the truth is it's actually not as easy as it seems. And yeah, meetings are a crucial part of leadership because that's the way that you can communicate with not only your team, but everyone else involved with the ideas that are happening, the campaigns and all the things that are being organized and happening in your school. Meetings are the heart of the communication for those things. It's how people gain clarity and get everyone on the same page. So it's really, really important, to say the least, to get them right because they are so essential. And so sometimes, you know, we chat to a lot of student leaders around Australia and New Zealand, and we hear these things a lot, and maybe you can relate to some of these as well. A lot of people feel like no one wants to actually be at their meetings, and people feel like their meetings are a drag. That's quite a common complaint. Another one is that the meetings just constantly get off track, and a lot of the times the meetings turn into people talking about things that are actually completely irrelevant and completely off track to what they should be talking about. Another one is no one speaks or contributes ideas, which I feel like is a huge complaint that we hear about meetings. And another one is conflict around ideas. So maybe the ideas are there, maybe people are contributing and sharing their ideas, but there's conflict around the ideas and there's just no harmony in being able to come to the same conclusion or come to the same idea. If this sounds like you, if this sounds like your meetings currently at school, then you are in the right place because today I'm going to be giving you a simple three-part framework that's going to help you overcome all of these complaints. So by the end of this episode, you're going to have meetings that hopefully are quick and effective. No one's going to feel like meetings are a drag. You're going to be able to run meetings that are actually relevant and you're talking about things that have purpose. You're going to learn how to actually create space for people to share their ideas. If it feels like no one's ever speaking up or contributing, I'm going to teach you how to actually create space for that and give people an opportunity to share their ideas. And hopefully I'll give you a couple of practical ways to come to the same conclusion, to come to the same idea so that everyone is agreeing with the idea. So without further ado, let's get into the three-part framework. So we'll start with part one. Part one is the first stepping stone. It's to set an agenda. I don't know how many times I've spoken to student leaders and they say, yeah, like we just run these meetings, we walk in and we don't know what to talk about. We're like, okay, what now? Which is a huge problem because obviously the whole point of a meeting is to talk about things that are relevant and talking about things that are happening in leadership and around the school and to communicate things with your team and to other students as well. So if you're going to have a meeting, you need to set an agenda. You need to know why you're actually having the meeting, not just so that you can have a structure around it, but so people actually have a purpose for being there. Sometimes it's like, oh yeah, we're going to have this meeting like next Wednesday at lunchtime. And if you're not communicating what the purpose is for the meeting or the reason why you're meeting, then maybe people will feel like, well, why do I want to go? Like, is it just going to be pointless like last time? Are we just going to ramble and go off track like last time? Is there even a point to this meeting? Are we just running meetings because that's just what we do? Okay, so before the meeting even begins, you need to know why you're meeting. You need to have that purpose, and you need to communicate that purpose with the people that should be involved in that meeting as well. Setting an agenda also means that you know what decisions need to be made, what updates need to be shared, what problems need to be solved, so that you can stay on track, so that you're not talking about irrelevant information that actually doesn't matter. And then maybe if the conversations do start to run on a tangent, you can bring it back and go, hey guys, that's not what we're here for. This is the agenda. This is what we need to talk about. Let's stay on track. So it just gives you a really good structure for how the meeting is going to run, because you know exactly why you're there, you know exactly what you need to be talking about, what updates need to be shared, and everyone that way can stay on the same page. Remember, it is important to communicate the purpose to your team. Otherwise, no one else knows why they're showing up either. And something really, really important to remember is don't run a meeting if there is nothing to talk about. No wonder your meetings feel like they're a drag. No one wants to be there, because if you are just running meetings just for the sake of running a meeting, there's actually nothing productive to talk about. People are going to start catching on to that reputation that meetings are just boring. They're a drag. We don't actually talk about anything important. So don't run a meeting if there is actually nothing to talk about. There is no point having a meeting, gathering people into the same room, just talking about irrelevant, unproductive stuff if there isn't actually a point to the meeting. So set an agenda is part one of this three-part framework. Part two is listen to contributions and ideas. Now, it's not a meeting without ideas, without contributions, without conversation. So this really is the heart of any good meeting, and it's really, really important to get this part right. As I was talking about earlier, sometimes it might feel like people actually aren't, they're not sharing ideas, they're not speaking up, and sometimes it might just feel like it's the same people speaking up all the time. And yes, maybe there's an element where some of the people in that meeting are shy, they don't know, they're not confident enough to actually speak up or share their ideas, and that's okay. But as the leader, it's important to take on that responsibility to make others feel safe in that space, to be able to share and contribute their ideas. The way that you do that is by setting the culture in the meeting that you don't talk down to people, you don't discourage people's ideas. You just have an open conversation where everyone can share their ideas freely, and that way you're creating a really safe space for people to actually share their ideas, especially if they're not the most confident person in the room. And it's important to note that if you are a leader, sometimes it's really tempting to come in with your idea and you've already thought about it, you've already thought about the steps, the action plan, all the things that you need to actually implement the idea. And maybe you're like, oh, well, I've already got everything sorted out. It's just about getting people to agree with it. But that is not the right approach as a leader. Remember that you're a team, and the more that you can make others feel involved and feel like they're contributing, the better reputation your meetings get, the more positive the culture will be. And the thing is, if people are throwing in ideas, their ideas are being used and their voices are being heard, they're going to feel like they actually want to be involved in that idea. If they're just sitting there laying back and listening to the leader talk and shout instructions at them, there's a really good chance that those people aren't actually going to want to be involved in that idea. So this is actually a really, really important part, is making people feel safe enough to contribute and share ideas so that they feel like they're actually being involved in the idea. And that way, they want to get involved in the idea, and it's going to lead for a much more successful execution of whatever you're putting in place. So the way that you're going to do that is to create space in the meeting for people to ask questions and for people to contribute ideas. And that might mean literally just having a brainstorming session, something really casual, not structured, and just go, yep, okay, cool, this is what we're working on today. Who has ideas? Let's just throw some ideas out. Even if you want to make it like we go around in a circle and we all share contribution to the conversation, like if you want to do it that way. But whatever works best for you and your leadership team and your meetings, you need to figure that out as a leader and decide the best way to implement that opportunity to create space for people to share their ideas and contributions so that it's not just one or two leaders sharing their ideas all the time and everyone else is just getting on board and agreeing. You really want to create the culture where everyone's getting a chance to be involved, everyone's getting a chance for their voice to be heard. So once you have all these ideas and the conversation is really flowing, a lot of the times there can be conflict in which idea people want to go with. And that is a risk in having so many different ideas, so many contributions, so many conversations. There is a risk in people not being able to decide on the one idea or being on the same page. So we need a way to combat that issue because it is quite a common issue. So the way that you're going to decide on the idea or the plan is by asking, number one, what idea helps more people? It's really important. It's the reason you're a leader is to help more people have more impact. So the way that you can prioritize ideas is by asking, what idea helps more people? And if everyone in the meeting can get on board and understand that, hey, we're picking this idea because this is what's going to help the most people right now, then there's more of a chance that the people in the meeting are going to be a lot more agreeable with picking that idea. They're going to be less offended if their idea isn't chosen because they're going to understand the reasoning behind choosing the idea that you've chosen. So that's the first question you're going to ask. The second question is, what is the bigger need right now? So it's kind of similar to the first question. Maybe there's some ideas that are more urgent than the others, but you need to figure out, and every school is going to be completely different, but you need to figure out what currently is a bigger need in the school right now. What currently is a bigger challenge? What currently could the students at our school use the most right now? And so that way, by asking those questions, you can really start to help other people understand why you're choosing that idea. And that reframe really takes the ego out of it. It stops it from being personal if other people's ideas aren't being chosen, if your idea is not being chosen. And it gives you a really clear and fair way to move forward that everyone can respect, even if their idea wasn't the one that got picked. So that's really, really important. So there was a lot in that part. Listening to contributions and ideas, it's the heart of the meeting, so it's really important to get this correct. But we do have one more part for this three-part framework. So we're going to move on to part three. Part three is to give clarity and summarize. Basically, before anyone walks out the door, you need to make sure that everyone is on the same page. You need to summarize everything that was decided, the conversation, and say it clearly and out loud. Don't make things confusing. Just be really clear, be really concise, summarize what the meeting was about, what the steps forward are, so that everyone knows and everyone is on the same page. The other thing you need to do before anyone walks out of the meeting is every single person needs to leave the meeting knowing two things: what is going on and what their job is now, if they have one. So that can happen, there needs to be some sort of delegation of tasks, if appropriate. So once you know the plan, you know the idea, you need to figure out, okay, for the execution, who's going to do what task and when do they need to be done by as well? Each person individually needs to walk away knowing exactly what they're doing, what their plan of attack is now, and when it needs to be done by. You don't want to leave any room for confusion because then things aren't going to get done. People want clarity. They want instruction. And even if as a team you work on this together and you go, okay, we need someone to do this task. We need someone to set up a schedule for the day. Okay, who wants to do that? Oh, we need some people to do some baking for the bake sale or whatever it might be. Who wants to do that? So even if there's a conversation as a team in the meeting as to who wants to do what, because if people are feeling like they're being forced to do a task or they're being forced to do something that they're not good at or they're not interested in, they're not going to want to do it. So the actual execution of the idea isn't going to be successful. So remember to play with people's strengths. And if someone's really good at something, give them a task that uses that skill, because not only is it going to be much more effective, but those people that are involved are actually going to want to be involved. They're not going to feel like they're being forced to be involved because they're doing the things they're good at. They're doing the skills that they're actually good at and that they want to do. So rather than just delegating tasks and being like, you do this, you do that, you can have a conversation around this and ask who wants to do what and work on these things as a team. So that is the third and final part, is to give clarity and summarize. Everyone needs to be on the same page when they leave the meeting that day. And the leaders are responsible for making sure that this happens. Now, I do have one bonus meeting tip for you to make sure that all of these things happen. The bonus meeting tip is have someone taking meeting minutes or scribing the meeting. It might sound silly or pointless or a bit old school, but it actually really helps remember what was spoken about. And it also helps to make the conclusions or the solutions really clear. Plus, then there is no reason for forgetting anything. You can always come back to it when you need. It's kind of like a backup. If people forget what's happening or what the plan is now, why it's happening, or if they have questions, then the meeting minutes are a great place that they can go back to and remember so that there's no confusion and it's just clarification. So that has been the three-part framework for making sure that you are running effective meetings in your leadership. They are a crucial part to get right in leadership. They are a crucial part for communication, making sure everyone is on the same page, and ultimately leading to successful ideas, successful executions. And if you can get these right, you really start to create a good reputation around your meetings. You start to create a really good culture in your meetings, which is super, super important because people are feeling like they want to be there rather than they have to be there. So I hope this episode really helped you. And if you can implement these steps at your next meeting, I am sure that you'll be running effective meetings that everyone wants to be at, and no one's going to feel like they're an absolute drag. Everyone's going to be walking away with clarity instead of confusion, and ultimately leading to more impact and more success at your school. Well, thank you so much for listening to this episode. It's been so good to have you here, and we will speak to you in the next episode. Bye!
Thanks for listening to the Student Leadership News Podcast. Interact with us on social media and follow the news online at studentleadership.news.